Good day. We are back with Visit Julian Podcast. Today I have a great representative of a great place here in Julian. That's Lake Cuyamaca Recreation District. So I brought in the man, Butch Paddock, to talk about the lake, the surrounding areas, the events. There's a lot to talk about. We may have to do 27 podcasts. So welcome, Butch. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So Cuyamaca Lake is a gem in this area. It is just...
Thank you very much.
I've been coming to Cuyamaca Lake before I even lived here, and I've lived here 18 years. And I just have had such great memories formed at the lake with my kids when they were small. And then we had some foster kids that we took up, and we had to rent two boats because we had so many kids. So I just want you to know, from a personal standpoint, Lake Cuyamaca has got a big place in my heart.
Yeah. It was quite a long time as far as creating the lake. They had to work with Helix Water. Mm-hmm. Helix drained the lake every year until 1965.
Wow.
In 1965, they made an agreement, an operational agreement with Helix to go ahead and maintain a certain amount of water in the lake, in the reservoir, after the rainy season. And that pretty much brought Lake Cuyamaca out of the shadows and into the spotlight, because it used to be one of the best kept secrets mm-hmm. in San Diego County history. Mm-hmm. 1965, they had a thing called the North Shore Project, which put in our separation dam, created Chambers Park, and a weir on the back side of the island mm-hmm. that is right underneath the bridge, in order to enable the water to be transferred to the upper lake basin and then back again mm-hmm. so Helix would get their water. The water in that lake, of course, is their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. So there was a negotiation, and through the negotiations they agreed to form a district. The district was formed on a state level. Mm-hmm. It was called the Lake Cuyamaca Recreation and Park District Act, and mm-hmm. that started in 1963. North Shore Project happened in 1965 and 66. We opened our gates as far as opening for business.
This is before both of you and I were born, right?
No, not me.
It was
well after I was born. It really generated a vision for Willis Fletcher, who was the son of Colonel Ed Fletcher, mm-hmm. to create the district. And when he did that, then the properties started selling in the area. People wanted to live up there full time. And the community became very, very, very close as far as that was concerned. They developed a volunteer fire department. We had some history in the area with the Stonewall Mine and mm-hmm. the San Diego River and the flume and that big project mm-hmm. that they had going that dates way, way back.
How big is the district then? Because you mentioned Stonewall, and I know that the Cuyamaca Rancho State Park is just whatever, a few miles up, but like the region of the recreation district, is it just the lake and the parking lot?
There's about 2,600 acres. Okay. The recreation and park district extends all the way out to Sunrise Highway, and the district boundaries go almost up to Harrison Park. It goes out over the top of North Peak and then down into the Boulder Creek area. We're surrounded, since they incorporated Anza Borrego with Cuyamaca Rancho State Parks, we're pretty much surrounded by the state parks.
Right, system. Okay, got it.
The lake itself is about 110 surface acres, mm-hmm. and it carries about a little under 1,000 acre feet of water at the beginning of what they call the evaporative period, mm-hmm. and that's June 1st. What they used to do as far as evaporation was concerned, we were responsible for the evaporation at the lake, so we had to pay Helix for the water that was evaporated out of the lake during that evaporative period, which went from June 1st to the middle of November, mm-hmm. the end of November.
That was in order to be able to keep the water there.
Yes.
Okay.
That was all part of it, because again, that's their bread and butter.
Sure.
And you don't want them to give up that much, and with the rising cost of water, you can more realize the reason why they want it.
Sure.
So they negotiated and brokered a deal and created Lake Cuyamaca Recreation and Park District. It's a jewel in the mountains of San Diego, mm-hmm. and we've got some new people on board. We've got a lot of stuff going on out there. Tom Nickel and Tyson were really interested in taking over the restaurant out mm-hmm. there, and they are really savvy as far as promoting is mm-hmm. concerned. They're very business oriented. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that they're going to do quite a lot for the lake.
Yeah, they're going to serve the lake well because, you know, Tom is Julian famous.
Oh, yeah.
And then, you know, he's got O'Brien's down the hill and those people. I mean, he's got quite an audience that's going to help bring yes. people to the restaurant, which then is going to help people discover the lake.
It is being discovered. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yeah.
Every weekend he does a better business than the weekend prior, mm-hmm. and he hasn't been open that much.
Right, yet, yeah. So. Yeah, I love that place. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great addition. So for the purposes of people listening to this mm-hmm. podcast, yeah. I'd really like for them to understand how they can enjoy the lake. What the lake offers those who are in the Julian area for a couple of days or want to make a day trip to Julian, because you're really not that far. I used to have to drive really fast from there to the school to pick up my kids, so I know it's 14 minutes from Main Street Julian, so it's not for me to drive. That's what it was.
You and my wife drive the same. For me it takes about 25 minutes, but what we have out there are four brand new cabins mm-hmm. with full-size bathrooms mm-hmm. and full-size kitchens, not kitchenettes, mm-hmm. full-size refrigerators, 800 square feet. All of them have a great view. We've been aesthetically pleasing in the fact that their elevation and their orientation, one does not impede another. They all have a fantastic view of the
right.
south end of the mm-hmm. lake. Mm-hmm. Some of the older structures are our condos. We have two condos with actual real wood fireplaces, mm-hmm. not central heating and air. Mm-hmm. We have sleeping cabins, we have RV sites, we have tent camping. Mm-hmm. For those that want to get out and about, we've developed a 3.5 mile trail that goes around the entire lake.
Oh, that's great.
So you can leave your campsite at Chambers Park, you can walk around to the restaurant, you can have breakfast at the restaurant mm-hmm. and walk back, and it'd be a great way to spend the morning. On the mm-hmm. way, we have three bald eagles that are staying there now. We have over 85 Canada geese that have taken up residence there. We've got a variety of birds, wildlife, deer that you would be able to see if you're out hiking. Mm-hmm. If you're one that likes to fish, we stock the lake with trout, with Florida strain largemouth bass, bluegill, white crappie, black crappie. We even have some white sturgeon in the lake.
Wow.
So we have a good diversity as far as the fish are concerned. Mm-hmm. And if you have some little ones, some young ones, please come by and stop in at our boathouse, because we're growing trout from eggs now. We're getting our eggs from Trout Lodge out of the state of Washington. They overnight ship them, they package them in ice, and they send them our way. We have McDonald jars that we incubate the eggs. Takes us about 7 to 10 days. Mm-hmm. Our last batch were 25,000 eggs, and we have aquariums inside the boathouse. So the area that used to have the table saw and all the equipment, mm-hmm. those have all been moved out. Mm-hmm. And some friends of mine were going out of business a few years ago. So I wound up buying Lakeside Bait and Tackle's aquariums that they use for bait fish.
I used to buy worms there for my for my bearded dragon.
great people. Yeah. Great people. For a very, very small amount of money, bought the aquariums, and we have biofilters, so it's an exemplified aquarium that you would have in your house, only a little bit larger. And all of our little trout now are fingerlings that are probably 2 to 3 inches, and the kids really love it.
I bet.
You take them in there, and they're amazed at the fish, and then you open their hand up and put a little ball of bait in their hand, put their hand in the aquarium, mm-hmm. and hold it down in the aquarium for them to open their hand, and then the fish, of course, swarm over the bait. And the kids get a real big kick out of it. The parents are taking pictures.
Sure.
It's really a great attraction. A lot of people.
How long have you had this that I don't know about?
It's been about 3 years, yeah. 3.5 yeah. years now. What I'm hoping for eventually is that one of the big fish in the pond, so to speak, mm-hmm. realize what's going on, because at Big Bear Lake, they're raising their own trout, and mm-hmm. they're at the point now where they're privying trout to surrounding lakes in the area.
Ah.
And if San Diego County picked up on that, then they could raise their own trout. They have facilities here in San Diego where they would be able to raise trout for a fraction of the cost of what we're paying for it. When I first came on the job, we were paying $1.87 a pound for our trout to be delivered. And right now it's at $4.77.
Yeah.
So we're looking at almost a 400%
sure.
uptick. And that just knocks the dog out of that particular line item in our mm-hmm. budget. We
sure.
can't really afford to buy as many trout, so there aren't as many trout plants during the course of the year that there used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry to say, but yeah. there is a silver lining if we could get one of the big guys on board. San Diego County could get a co-op together, and we could grow our own trout.
Makes me want to grow trout in my backyard now. I got a swimming pool. That's just great yeah. the way you're... it's one of the things I've said a lot about Julian and the businesses I've been talking to, and even myself included, that we have all found a way to evolve and learn and grow. Even though we're historic and people come here for that element, we still have to be creative and
need and necessity.
Yeah,
you know, that's the mother of invention.
Yeah.
It kind of promotes you to go a little bit beyond the edge of the envelope.
Exactly.
We're at the point now where we've gone ahead and sent some trout to other places.
That's great.
In order to augment their fishing concerns, mm-hmm. because as far as recreational fishing is concerned, it's pretty much like sports in high school.
Mm-hmm.
It's the last one to be given any money
or
you know, allocated that amenity.
Yeah.
We have the fishing. We have a limited season of waterfowl hunting.
Mm-hmm.
We have a kids hunting, competitive hunting shoot after the end of the hunting season, which is at the end of January, early February. We try to keep the kids involved as much as possible. The fourth Saturday in September is the Orville P. Ball Kids Fishing in the Pines Derby.
Mm-hmm.
Orville P. Ball was like a pioneer in San Diego lakes and streams, and providing master plans for Otay Lakes for the city of San Diego. And the Fletcher family got a hold of Orville P. Ball and got him to write the master plan for Lake Cuyamaca. And he wound up being inducted into the Bass Fishermen's Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. San Diego Bass Fishermen's Hall mm-hmm. of Fame. That's the reason for the Kids Fishing Derby. Before COVID, we had as many as 1,200 kids that would come up and their families. The San Diego Anglers would donate as much as 700 pounds of fillets of bluefin, yellowfin, yellowtail, Dorado, and Wahoo. They would come up and they would cook that, and we would be right next to them, and we would be cooking hamburgers and hot dogs mm. and sausages.
So it's a big family event.
It is.
Yeah,
it
and
is.
Don't the kids all get fishing gear and stuff? What is the extent of that?
As much as we can afford.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as many sponsors as we can get.
Mm-hmm.
Natasha Hollingsworth and Sarah Kinder have been very instrumental as far as that's concerned, getting the sponsorships.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Natasha has probably already started.
Sure, you have to.
Almost a year ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as one ends, you give yourself a month or two break, and
mm-hmm.
you go right back at it
mm-hmm.
again. And she's been very good about that.
That's great.
Yeah,
yeah, because the need and experience and benefit of family activities are just so important now more than ever, especially with people being overstressed with, you know, all that's going on in the world. Just to have a place like Lake Cuyamaca where you can come up
yeah.
with your kids and just chill, you know?
And our sponsors have been really stalwart. They have stood by us mm-hmm. through thick and thin. The San Diego Anglers, Randy Jones and the Padres,
mm-hmm.
he's come through every year.
Randy's fantastic. He does all kinds of stuff, because we do Home of Guiding Hands stuff, and met him on a 5K.
Yeah.
Just a great guy.
Yeah, yeah. And he'll come up and he'll help us out if need be. We had radio personalities and television mm-hmm. personalities come up and MC the event. To be honest with you, it's probably our biggest event during the course of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Right now we have the 1224 with Jennifer Henderson. It's called the Pirate's Cove, if anybody wants to come out.
Mm-hmm.
You can jog around a little bit for a mile or a mile and a half, or you can jog for 12 hours or 24 hours. That's the reason for the 1224.
Huh.
And these are ultimate running not races, but it's running. Mm-hmm. And it's a harbinger to what we have in the first part of June, and that's the San Diego 100 miler. The Surf San Diego Ultra Running Organization. They come up, and usually it's about 150, 200 people. They'll run 100 miles through the trails in the mountains. It's not like you're on a flat track at a high school.
Yeah,
uphill it's a little and more downhill. And
cross country on steroids.
Right, yeah. Right. And yeah. They have a limit of 30 hours. If you can't do it in 30 hours, then you drop out. That's it. You're done. The people that do come from all over the United States, some from Europe and other countries.
That's great.
For this particular event.
And that's in June?
That'll be in June, probably the first weekend or second weekend in June. It'll be on the San Diego 100 website.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
And people can check that out.
Yeah, and I'm sure that Tom and Tyson are going to bring some people with them as far as visiting the lake. But those are some of the amenities out there. Of course, we have the birders, the people that come out and take pictures or they watch with their binoculars. The Boy Scouts have set out a GPS route that people love to go out. As a family-oriented function, they'll go out with a GPS and let the little kids find out where the locations or the waypoints are for the GPS. And it works out really well for everybody. And we're not just fishing-oriented. We're oriented toward campers. We're trying to get more oriented toward families rather than just the grumpy old fishermen.
So speaking of that then, because my family has spent time there, I'm going to tell you a little bit about what we did and maybe other people could see themselves doing it. Do you still have the paddle boats?
We still have the little paddle boats. Yeah. We've got the little motor boats with the 6 horsepower.
Right. Motors. So we would come to Lake Cuyamaca and we'd rent probably a half day boat because we're a young family and that's what we could afford. And so we'd come out in the afternoon and we'd stick our kids in the little boat and my husband would toot us around the lake and the kids just thought that was amazing because their dad's driving a boat and it's just, you know, just a little boat. And we go from one end of the lake to the other. I would be scared, the mom thing, like, oh, you're too close to this, or yeah. And then we would pull around and pull up to Fletcher Island, get out of the boat, and then the kids would walk that you guys had at the time. I'm assuming that they still do, but if not, owl boxes in the trees. And we would all talk about whether or not there was an owl in there. And the kids are super like, is there an owl in there? And they're, you know, the girls are scared that an owl's going to fly out. And we would just walk around the island. And then at the time, which I didn't find last time I went, and I think it's just because I'm chubby and I couldn't walk as far. But in the middle of the island was that giant bear carved out of a tree. And I have so many pictures over the years of the kids standing in front of that bear.
Yes, unfortunately, the bear is gone from the top of Fletcher Island. We took it from there and put it on the point of Fletcher Island because there were a number of people that, you know, you've got graffiti and you've got damage when people are away. They aren't under the eye of, you know, scrutiny. So we thought we'd put it out there on the end of the island in order to make it more visible and the people wouldn't bother it to find another
group. I'm so happy to know that.
Groups of people would go and they would push it over. They would shove it over. So now it's lying on the ground next to the boat launch ramp. Mm-hmm. And sad to say, because you're right, it was like a little
landmark. A family tradition,
And we have a lot of memorial benches out there around as you walk around on the island.
And picnic tables.
And there's graffiti that's been happening out there. We had one gentleman that came up repeatedly and would paint the roots of the trees with acrylic paint, bright orange and green and blue. This is a downside of running a park and rec district along with the snow. When the snow comes, the people come, and you don't know the trash that they leave until after the snow melts. And that includes disposable diapers and barbecues and whatever they want to bring with them and leave behind. It's a downside, but overall, you've got a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. It's a jewel. It's a phenomenal place to come and spend time.
Yeah, it's a simple place, simple pleasures. And for me, like I said a little bit before our interview, that, you know, we fostered some kids. And so we would literally camp with 7 kids.
Okay.
And, you know, you're on a budget.
As did we.
Yeah, so, you know, you want to bring them sweet things to do. And some people need sweet things to do that you know, you go to Disneyland, you know, you're $3,000 into a trip, but you know, you can make a day out to Lake. And I'm not saying it's Disneyland, but I'm saying the memories that you create are
very affordable.
Very affordable. And you create these memories that are just as precious as the, my kids' best memories are camping. They're not Disneyland and Knott's Berry Farm.
Tom and Tyson are nice, very nice to talk about. They're great guys. But at Lake Cuyamaca, we also have a great team, great mm-hmm. group of people working there. Patty Reedy takes care of all of our stocking and ordering for the bait and tackle shop, mm-hmm. taking care of what goes on there. We have Laura. She takes care of reservations. She's taken us from just in-person reservations to online reservations.
That's like a huge improvement.
Oh, so huge.
Good for you.
So huge.
I was so excited when I saw that.
And what that opened up for us. And right now, Laura's starting up a competition for photography and trying to get the artsy, craftsy people to come out, maybe doing some plain art, you know, doing some drawing, some charcoal or mm-hmm. some painting, watercolor, and that kind of thing mm-hmm. out there. Get some competitions out there and give them a cabin or give them a condo for the winter, you know, give them some incentives to come up.
Yeah, that sounds like really great plan.
She just opened our eyes and we're penetrating a new area, a new market, a mm-hmm. new group of people. So
that's like what we talked about just a few minutes ago about just evolving and changing and being creative and all that good stuff. So you did talk about being the district. I know that there are some people who have come into town hall and think it's still managed by some form of government. You want to clear that up?
It's considered privately owned because mm-hmm. it's the majority of the property is owned by Helix Water. Mm-hmm. The park and rec services were developed through the state, not through the county. Mm-hmm. So it's a state special district. Mm-hmm. We operate as a state entity, but also as a private business. Mm-hmm. Attached to the formation of the park and rec district was a taxation. Mm-hmm. And people are and I understand being anti-taxed or not want to be taxed. But what had happened in 1978 and 79 was a Jarvis Gann tax initiative, Prop 13. And at the same time, whether or not the copier's talking.
Yeah,
to us.
It happens almost every time.
whether or not you're in favor of this or not in favor of this, the voters who were being taxed voted to not continue the taxation. Mm-hmm. Because of that, we had to start a fee, an assessment for coming in, entering the place.
So that's what's important for people to know, that you know you're supported, that lake exists because of
and that's part of the support is mm-hmm. the access fee, the people that come up. And a lot of people are under the misunderstanding that if they have a pass for the state parks, then they can then come into mm-hmm. Lake Cuyamaca or U.S. Forestry.
Right.
If they have that pass, they can come in. And then the local people don't understand our situation very much. And we're trying to work with them as far as giving them, you know, access to the lake. Mm-hmm. And you've got your sphere of influence. And locals, you've got a definition. What's a local? Is a local come from Descanso? Do they come from Julian? Do they come from Santa Isabel? You know, do they come from Amona and consider themselves a local because they're in the back country? Mm-hmm. So it's a fine line, and it gets contentious once in a while.
Sure, sure. Yeah, but I just want people to know that those fees are important. And
absolutely.
They're part of what maintains something that you can hear me in my voice talking about that is so special that you got to hold on to. You got to keep it going. And the fee is an important part of that. So people should happily pay it to you.
So true.
Says me.
One of the things that I felt were one of our greatest accomplishments was keeping all of our employees mm-hmm. through COVID, all mm-hmm. the way through COVID. And that was one of the ways that we did it, was providing an access fee mm-hmm. in order to help pay the salary of the people who work out there.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, then we don't have the people to take care of the place, mm-hmm. to maintain the place, to be a ranger, to you know, mm-hmm. go out and handle what needs to be taken
to pick
care
up the trash after the snow and that kind of stuff. So all that
disposable diapers.
I know, right? All right, well, for those listening, I will be, and you probably don't know, but we have show notes. And the slideshow, you sent me all those pictures, so they're going to come up on a slideshow, and people are going to be able to see that as they listen to us. Yeah. This shows up in two places on our podcast platform, and it also shows up on our blog on visitjulian.com.
Okay.
And people will be able to see the photos. They'll get links to the lake website, which is fairly new and has the it's been changed with the online reservations and stuff. The site seems new to me, and they can click there, take a look at what you have there, pay attention to what events are coming up. So they're not just going to hear us, they're going to be able to have access to reach out and see all the things that are going on at Lake Winnemucca as well.
Understood.
All right.
But also in addition to what you had to say, it's steeped in tradition and in history.
Mm-hmm.
The Stonewall Mine and the San Diego Flume are only two events that are things that occurred through history that the people should look at, and mm-hmm. when they come up, they should investigate a little bit more rather than just coming to the lake to pop a tent up and spend the night in their
sure.
tent.
Sure.
That was one of the reasons why I put the trail in, to get mm-hmm. them out of their car and out of their campsite and go out and see the area, be able to, you know, engage in what we have to offer out there.
Is there a map for that trail?
Yes, there is.
Okay, so what I'd like to maybe get that, and I'll scan it or something, and then that way it's available. They can click and they can see what that is, and I'd love to have it here as
it's,
well.
It's a very simple trail because mm-hmm. it's flat. It just follows the shoreline of the lake
okay.
all the way around the lake.
All right.
And it's 3.5 miles long. They can go out as far as they want to and turn around and come back, or they can do the complete loop. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other trails in the state park that are a lot more aggressive and a lot more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why we thought this would be a good trail, and it's well used,
mm-hmm.
and that it would be well used, that is because it is flat and mm-hmm. it is family oriented. Mm-hmm. So,
all right, well, I'm going to make sure I get a hold of that
okay.
because a lot of times people want something in their hand when they come in here to visit me. They want to leave here with something in their hand. So
we also have a multifold if they want to stop by the bait and tackle shop. Mm-hmm. No real reason to have to purchase anything, but mm-hmm. we have a color multifold that tells a little bit about Lake Cuyamac mm-hmm. and what we have to offer.
That sounds great.
Yeah,
and I'll do a little bit of research so that this I can get more information on the Stonewall Mine so that those who are interested in that can learn about that, because I want to make sure that we have access to all the stuff that you're talking about.
I can get you some of that information.
All right, please do. I do. I want it all. I always wrap up with asking because I don't always know everything to ask. And so I want to make sure that if there was some other information you wanted the listeners to hear, now is your time to say, oh, and another thing.
No, just come on out and enjoy the ambiance mm-hmm. of Lake Cuyamaca mm-hmm. and really... the nicest thing about the lake, and we both have experienced that, is that, you know, Julian has definitive times of year.
Mm-hmm.
You have a definite winter, spring, summer, and fall,
mm-hmm.
and a lot comes with each one of those.
Mm, absolutely.
And to come up and experience that is a wonderment in itself.
Yeah.
We welcome everybody, and if you bring the little ones, let us know. We'll show them the little trout
there. Yeah, we'll take them into the trout area. That's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
So thanks so much for coming to see me, Butch. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. My yeah. pleasure.
I'm here to be supportive, so I'm glad to hear all this good stuff.
You always have been.
Oh, thank you.
You take care.
You too. Thanks, everybody.